For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Griplock, Foundation Disc Golf's weekly podcast. I'm Hunter, joined as always by Trevor and Connor.
Hey.
Got quite the episode today. We're going to kick it off with a little Patreon question of the week. Talk about the final playoff event of the year, the MVP Open.
The finale.
We'll get some Trevor's trivia, and then we'll look at the Pro Tour standings headed into the Tour Championship, because obviously USDGC does not count. And then we'll also have our Griplock power rankings. Only two events left of the year, three if you count U.S. Women's, two events.
I'm sad.
That everyone, because we consider, if you're new to the podcast, Throw Pink Women's is our U.S. Women's major in our hearts.
Yeah, this is how it is.
So let's kick it off, though, with a word from our sponsor. Football season is back, and you know what that means. Touchdown dances, Sunday tailgates, and epic fantasy showdowns. But fellas, let's not forget about the real MVP of the season.
Go Cardinals.
Introducing the all-new Beard Hedger Pro Kit from Manscaped. Your ultimate luxury beard grooming experience. This kit is your secret weapon for staying sharp on and off the field. Don't fumble this opportunity. Head over to manscaped.com and elevate your grooming game with the Beard Hedger Pro Kit and join 9 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. You heard that right. 9 million men. Or 109 MetLife Stadiums. That's a way to put it.
Wow.
So go to manscaped.com and get 20% off plus free shipping with the code GRIPLOCKED. The Beard Hedger Pro Kit is grooming powerhouse built for precision and style, just like your favorite quarterback, Kirk Cousins. This kit tackles beard. You know, you could probably bird touch-ups too, but we'll do that later. This kit tackles beard touch-ups effortlessly, ensuring you've always prepped for the next play.
Plus, how does it do with feathers?
It has a compact design for easy portability. This cordless trimmer has a rotary reel that gives you 20 hair-cutting links with one guard. You heard that right. 20 hair-cutting links with one guard. No more messy drawers full of extra add-ons. Face grooming doesn't have to be hard. You get 20 different beard links in just one guard. Plus, all this is waterproof, so you can shave in the shower to avoid all that hair in the sink. And the titanium-coated T-blade is tough on hair, but smooth on your face, leading to one single-stroke efficiency that brings satisfaction one stroke at a time. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code GRIPLOCKED at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com using code GRIPLOCKED. The grass is not artificial. Keep it shaved with Manscaped. All right, let's kick it off with our Patreon question of the week. If you're not sure where this comes from, it's over on our Heiser Club, which... Shout out to Jason. If you've ever dealt with our customer service, customer experience, you know who Jason is and you know how good he is at his job. And he recently took over running our behind-the-scenes Patreon, and it has really gone to the next level.
Jason, there's no privacy at this point.
There's behind-the-scenes.
If you're trying to go to the bathroom, it's on the Heiser Club.
Behind-the-scenes vlogs, behind-the-scenes pictures, unboxings of basically every single disc that comes into this warehouse. It's incredible. So you can head over to patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf if all that sounds interesting to you. And there's also a weekly podcast called the Heiser Club Mailbag, which is where you pull these questions from. And basically, our patrons ask us whatever they want, however they want. Connor's got beef with a few of them.
Yeah, it's a great time. Mailbag, I got sent a t-shirt that I have to wear on the next one.
Yeah.
So, I am not happy about it.
It's very fun time. But this one comes from Joshua Peters. And it's a little bit of a controversial question.
We can title this podcast episode Big Controversy.
Yeah.
We're sorry.
My last name is Traversy.
What?
Controversy.
What do each of you think is the worst disc ever made?
I can't remember what I said on Mailbag.
I'm sticking with the same answer from Mailbag. Sometimes because like we have a week to process or a weekend to process this before we answer it again. That's so true. Sometimes I change my answer. I'm not for this one. The 10-meter brick.
Mm.
It was sent to us for a weird disc video a while ago. I don't think it's made anymore. But it was a real disc, and it has no purpose. It flips unless you're throwing it from 30 feet, but then if you're throwing it from 30 feet, it was just normal. So
I could make a similar argument for the turbo putt, because while there is a purpose, if anybody who is good at turbo putting does not need those grooves on
it
the
does
inside.
Make it easier to turbo putt though.
But like if you're gonna learn, my thing is if you're gonna learn how to turbo putt, learn how to do it on a disc you can like you're
I would
actually
agree.
Gonna use.
And
in
also,
your bag.
You also can't use it in PDGA.
I don't
anymore.
Think it's it's not PDGA approved. So
it was at one point.
I think the turbo putt was dumb.
Good.
I'll say Now, one, I don't want to say this because I know that there's a lot of work put into it.
Oh no! Oh, boy.
But the I think this is what we said. This is what we said on the mailbag was the
I said the 10 meter break the on
odd
the grip.
Yeah, G1. The odd grip G1.
Nobody knows about that disc.
Nobody. Yeah, it was a Kickstarter. It was a project.
Prototype. I think it got funded.
It's a really bad disc. It's a very bad, made out of the worst, than any.
Well, here's the thing. I think it's more so the plastic that was so bad.
The plastic was
so
bad.
The mold wasn't great either, but yes, the plastic.
The mold was not good. The plastic was really bad. It was just not, and it was advertised as like a forehand disc, which makes even less sense because it's really, really flippy. Not a good disc. Also, I don't really see the point in the Innova Alien. I understand that it flies really good, but I don't understand why you need a disc to feel that weird.
I would argue that it might be most pointless disc of all time. Yeah. It's like, it's a little redundant.
Yeah. It's like, I kind of get the Sonic feeling is like it, that. I get it because it flies like a Frisbee.
If there's anybody
but this is a disc
out
that
there
that feels like a fastback Frisbee that doesn't fly like
if it. There's anybody no, out like there the, that what? Genuinely loves the feel of a fastback, then there's a point. But like,
what are we talking about? The Alien?
Yeah.
But I loved it.
I think the flight is great, but the shape of it makes no sense.
That's what gives you the flight.
The flight is not different enough to justify the shape.
I don't know about that.
I don't know, man.
I mean, you took it out of your bag very quickly. It also doesn't fit in anybody's bag unless they put it in their putter pocket.
It was in the top of my bag for about as long as an average
disc.
You
don't have to defend it, man.
I will put it back in my bag. I gave it to
Connor
for
him to try.
I know you will
now. Now that we've talked about it, now it's going back into
I unironically liked it.
I
threw it a lot.
No, there was nothing.
It was
sure
in my
the
bag.
There was nothing horrific about it. I just think it was
there's
redundant.
There's just not really a point to me for it having a fastback. There's not a point to me.
Yeah, I think you could find a disc that flies almost exactly the same. In fact, I know you can, and it wouldn't have a fastback. Back on it. So that's what I'm saying. If there are people out there that love the fastback, then it's not pointless.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying too.
And
I'm
it probably
not, I'm not,
is.
I'm not like making
I'm gonna step
it.
I'm gonna I'm take just a step back. I'm gonna check myself.
Okay, I'm checking you too.
I'm gonna have to do a lot of checking myself this episode. Hashtag Matthew Orem.
I really like the Alien.
I'm
sorry. I was doing research on the Odd Grip G1, so I don't know what kind of slander you two put in the world about it.
No.
I didn't hear the question say best disc
Connor
ever made,
basically
so the Alien shouldn't
it's
have been brought up.
Stinky, stinky poo poo disc.
Well, Connor is stinky, stinky poo poo.
Hey,
if he thinks that about
what
the Alien.
The heck?
If you think that about the Alien, no, I'm dying
if
on this hill.
If you knew about my grandfather, then you would not have said that.
My grandfather built this country, thank you.
Yeah, I don't.
I like the sound of your voice.
I just have this. I just had this idea. So Brody's supposedly coming in at some point today. He's in town, and
who
I
knows?
I just had this funny idea, like a punishment. Maybe not this time, but for future, it'd be like when Brody walks in. You haven't seen him in a few months. You have to walk up and just bear hug him.
We've talked about it before. I think that I've said, and I quote, "What do you guys think that would happen if Brody walked in and I just was like, hey man, what's up?' and went and gave him a hug."
I don't know.
He might pick you up. I do not know.
I could see that.
He might just pick you up on the board.
Yeah. Anyway. You know, we might just have to test it for social
media.
Yeah,
go for it, man. Go for
it. Connor will hug him.
No, I'm scared.
Yeah, dude.
No, Connor, it's for social.
Yeah, it's for social.
Okay.
Because they're going to have heard this, and then we'll have a video of it.
Connor's like, it's worth the risk,
but
man.
He's going to be like, oh, what's up, man? And just kind of like side hug me. And then later he's going to talk to you guys where I'm not there about like, Connor's kind of weird.
That's not true.
No, dude.
He probably just like give you a little sign. Oh, Dark Horse. That's probably what would happen.
It's always, I'm just like the weird, hugging tall people is always weird though because
yeah,
way more
gotta
intimate.
Go low,
you're going to meet his belly button, bro.
Hugging a tall person is always very intimate whenever you're a normal height.
You'll just jump up a little, right wrap here. Your legs around him.
Koala.
I think I have a step stool.
There you go. All right, let's get into the MVP open here.
No, dude, let's be talking.
This is a disc golf podcast.
We're sorry. We're developing a lot of podcast titles early in this one.
MVP open results. We'll start with the FPO. Haley King took it down. Kristen Tatar came in second. I'll double check this, but I believe on the broadcast they said this was her first loss since July.
That's crazy.
Which is crazy. And Owen Scoggins also tied for second. And then on the MPO side, you had Matty O taking it down with Aaron Gossage and Eagle McMahon tying for second.
Come on, Matty O. Come on.
Let's start with FPO here.
You would, dude. It's because you're scared.
Haley King, a very impressive performance down the stretch. I tweeted out basically, Haley's last name's King, obviously. So I wanted to say something about like Haley King dethroned the queen.
Nice.
Pretty good
that's
play
cool.
on words.
That is
nice.
Cool.
And so, but I
I've got a crazy tweet cooked up. I got to tell you about when we get to MPO.
Okay. Anyway, so I tweeted that, and then I wrote about like how good Haley played down the stretch, because it was true. And immediately people were like, Haley didn't play good. Kristen handed it to her, blah, 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 blah. And Trevor made a good point this morning when I came in, which is both can be true, because Kristen did make some very un-Kristen-like mistakes, and she opened the door. Haley King still had to go through that door.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
Haley absolutely. King...
That's very and true. It happens... you know,
very frequently.
I would say, I'm trying to think of which tournament comes to mind in specific, but obviously Waco was one with Ella Hansen. That was a little bit different, but there's been times, multiple times, where like round one or two, Kristen has a bad round, opens the door, and people just don't take advantage.
Well, I'll say hole 11, Kristen opened the door, missed air ball to putt, right? Own Scoggins in position.
Yeah.
Own goes on to take a seven because she like three or four putted from like 15 feet.
Yeah.
And we see that, but what I was telling Trevor is I feel like when typically what happens is Kristen makes mistakes and she's bailed out. Like hole 11, what we saw from Own there, she had a chance to go through the door that Kristen opened and she bailed Kristen out. So then that mistake by Kristen's forgotten. Haley King and granted down the stretch, Own turned it around. Both of them down the stretch exposed those mistakes Kristen made. For instance, hole 17, it was somewhat Champions Cup of last year-esque when Own on 17 here three-putted, Haley King birdied. Haley ended up birdieing three of the last four holes to take this championship. There's a lot to be said there. Those are some tough holes down the stretch. And on 18, she was in very a position clutch. Where... Own Scoggins hits the green, you know, gets herself into the conversation for birdie.
Everybody clutched up on 18.
Kristen Tatar steps up, hits the green. Again, conversation where if Haley King pars it, there's not going to be a three-way playoff.
Electric.
Haley King steps up.
And let's not forget what Corey Ellis did last year. Similar shot.
Same exact situation. Corey Ellis chucks it OB by like, he threw it to like the fifth row rafters.
It's a scary shot. That green is tough.
Haley King steps up knowing where she's at. Because you could see it, she was watching scores the whole time, and she confirmed it in the post-round interview that from like hole 15 on, she because her in respect to Haley for this, she noticed what Kristen's been doing is Kristen plays very smart golf. She doesn't get aggressive, and she lets mistakes from other people happen, and those are the opportunities they take. Haley was like, "That's my plan this week. I'm playing for par. I'm playing smart, safe golf. I'm letting everyone else make the mistakes. I'm not making the mistakes." She said hole 15 is when it switched. She realized, I've got to put my foot on the gas if I want to catch her. And so hole 15, I think she hit, 60-foot putt for birdie, and then she played aggressive from there on out.
Yeah.
And 18, she knew exactly what she had to do. She knew, put it under the basket, I win. She put it under the basket, and there you go. She won. Mm-hmm. She was very clutch down the stretch. She shot 4-under in the final round, as did Kristen, and Haley King takes it by one stroke. Very impressive all-around tournament from Haley.
Super impressive.
And very impressive in the clutch, which I think is what we've seen a lot of times. Other FPO players shine and have very impressive tournaments, and then Kristen applies the pressure, and we've seen them crumble.
Mm-hmm.
Haley was in that position. There was pressure applied multiple different times in the round. She didn't crumble. She stuck to the game plan, and then when it was time to push, she pushed, and she birdied three of the last four to take this title. Very impressive win from Haley King. And a glimpse of what I think Haley's capable of week in and week out.
That's what I stand by what I said. I think I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, but I feel like Haley King has some of the most potential in FPO because she throws really far. She's got an incredible forehand. She is a pretty good looking putt, and she just has to put it all together at the same time.
Yeah. I think talent wise, there can be an argument made that she's the most talented FPO player. And I think this year we've seen flashes of some of the best golf I've seen out of her and some of the best putting in particular, because I think that's been really the big difference maker for her game, especially this season, is when her putt is working, she is very dangerous. And I still think that of the players left on in the FPO field, I think that she is the one that has the most potential to challenge Kristen week in and week out. And I think she's still a long ways from that consistency wise, but there's been flashes of brilliance, and this is a really nice win. Hopefully a bit of a confidence earner. I think she's in the past been pretty decent at throw pink. Certainly another chance to get another win there. So, yeah.
Well, she's also the defending champ at U.S. Women's.
She's
going in, you know, next weekend. Yeah, next weekend, going in with a chance to defend her title there. I have confirmed The last time that Kristen Tatar lost was the Preserve, which was 30th of June through the 2nd of July. So July 2nd was the last time she lost.
What's her ratio this year now of wins to losses?
3, 4, 5.
Like, I think she's still above 500.
8, 9, 10.
Which is hilarious.
She's 11 and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 11 and 6. 11 wins, 6 losses this year.
That's hilarious. Like, when you can start, when you're so good that you can, like, read off that record and it sounds like you're a sports team, like, that sounds like an NFL football team.
Yeah, like, she'd probably be close to making the playoffs.
That's, yeah, like, that's hilarious.
Yeah, she's 11 and 6 this year, and I think that includes MVP.
She's too good.
So, Kristen, she still came in second this week. It's not like this is the end of Kristen Tatar.
And it wasn't a meltdown. It was no. It was not great.
It was literally hole 17 was it. She three putted on 17. It wasn't pretty.
Well, 16 was worse.
Was 16 worse?
16, she probably had, I would give it a 23 footer.
No, she one putted on 16. She missed a circle two putt. You're talking of 17.
Or I'm thinking of 17. Yeah. You're right. You're right.
17
right.
was
17.
It.
Yeah. She had like the 23 footer uphill.
Yeah. And missed it, rolled down to the edge of circle, missed that, tapped out for her five.
It's tough. It's always tough when you have two holes consecutively where you just throw away a stroke.
Because the hole you're talking about was where she threw into the bushes, I think.
Yeah. Yes, that was 16.
Yeah.
And that one, I feel like that was just that's one of those where you're just kicking yourself after because you're like, wow, just wasn't really paying attention to that or didn't focus enough. I don't know.
Yeah. But very impressive tournament from Haley all around. And now on the MPO side, 20 years after his first Elite Series appearance, Matty O has finally taken one down.
He's done it.
Huge moment for his career. Matty. Very long time coming. Some have said that it was never going to happen.
I don't know who would say that.
I always disagreed with him vehemently.
Did you? You going to leave me here on this island?
No. I stood with Trevor. It was Trevor's take. Some people said that it was my take. It wasn't my take.
I love Matty O. I've always been a big Matty O fan.
I agreed with the take.
We had a good run, and here's what I'm going to say. We had a good run.
What are you going to say?
I've been doing this for a few seasons. Said he was never going to win at the highest level.
Has it been a few seasons already? It feels like it was just yesterday you made that take, man.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, like, it was never, the Matty O take was never just like picking some guy who I didn't think was good at disc golf and being like, well, they're never going to win. It wasn't like that. It was because he was so consistently in the top 10, especially last year, where it was like blowing my mind. And that's why I gave him the can't win title, because in my opinion, if you were in the top 10 that often and not winning, like, there just must be something to it. But, you know, hand up, he convincingly won. He took it. It was an incredible win, very nice comeback victory, and he has officially shook that title. I will never again say that Matty O can't win. It's not true.
Yeah.
It's over. He passes the crown to Calvin Heimberg.
That's what I'm going to tweet. Calvin Heimberg has won in April, but I mean, Matty O's career.
No, he can't win anymore.
True. That's fair. That's fair. Matty O's career reminds me a lot of, like, you remember that movie, Brock Kelly, Tom Hanks is the coach, and he's like doing the bear crawl with the guy on his back and he's blindfolded.
Did you say Tom Hanks is the coach?
Is that not the coach?
Tom Hanks. You think Tom Hanks is in that movie?
Who is yelling at him?
That movie was made by a church.
Oh, he looks like Tom Hanks. It was the, you know, the coach. He looked a lot like Tom Hanks.
I mean, I...
You know the scene I'm talking about.
Whenever you said that, I was immediately like, I don't remember a movie where Tom Hanks is a coach.
Well, now I have to find this guy. Facing the Giants movie.
Yeah, his name's like Alex something. And he
but
was
like, you got to look at him.
He was like...
Alex Kendrick. That's a Tom Hanks looking guy. Come on, Trevor. Roll with me here. you know he kind of looks like
Tom
Hanks.
Well, it was...
Look at that. Look at him. If you're just recollecting it and that you
well,
just remember
the scene.
Well, it's
more so that, like, I know that movie was a small budget movie that, like, would have never
it
had a celebrity.
Didn't feel like
A-lister.
A small
budget.
It was well movie, made. You know? Anyways, but you know the scene I'm talking about. Brock Kelly, he's blindfolded. He's doing the bear crawl. Got the little kid on his back, 100 some pound guy. Uh-huh. And he's like, I didn't go to the 50. Uh-huh. And then Tom Hanks lookalike dudes yelling at him.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, he opens his eyes. He's in the end zone. He made it to the end zone.
Yeah.
That's what this moment felt like for me. I feel like Matty O's been bear crawling his entire season or his entire career, his 20 whole, years.
20 years.
And he's just got people just like coming on, chirping him on, you know, come on, you got this, Matty. You got this, Matty. And how far you think you can go? How far you think you can go? And he's like, I think I can get to the 50. I think I can do it. And next thing you know, he opens his eyes. He's in the end zone. He won. MVP of all places, a tournament that he choked away. I don't want to say choked away. He lost it on the final hole in 2010.
Yeah.
13 years later.
Revenge game.
Here we are.
I knew he had it in him, man.
He always had it in him, but it was...
I knew he had it in him because he always shoots a good round. At most tournaments, he typically shoots a good, really good round.
And that's what this final round was. Now, he had... I think he shot even par on like Friday, but
yeah,
he birdied 11 through
Saturday.
Yeah, I think Friday it was Friday. Saturday. He birdied 11 through 17 in this final round.
Yeah.
Three huge outside the circle putts during that. Each and every one of them felt crucial. In the end, they weren't, but each and every one of them felt crucial. Then on 18, he threw within an inch of that rock off the tee. Not a great tee shot. Threw a forehand upshot right behind a tree. Not a great upshot. Mm. I was thinking, is this going to... Because, again, at this point, Chase Card so far had a lead card. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lead card's back on, like, 13 right now. I think they were teeing off on 14. So, in his mind, this was very doable for Simon or Eagle right. to catch him.
Yeah.
So, it, again, felt crucial. It wasn't in the end, but it felt crucial in the moment. And he's behind this tree... Now, and I was starting to think, like, is this going to be a Corey Ellis type moment where he's going to throw this OB, turn, you know, end up bogeying and losing by one because Eagle or Simon's going to freaking chase him down. Threw a very tricky backhand approach shot to like 2 feet, tapped out. And at that point, I think Eagle and Simon had both messed up somewhat their drives on 14 to where you kind of knew they weren't going to birdie. They would have had to birdie 15 out to tie him at 22 under, I believe. Or was that what he got to, 22? 23 under. I think they would have had a birdie out. And so it was very unlikely for him to lose. And then I think once they had the par on 15, if I'm not mistaken, is when it was kind of done. When they didn't, Eagle bogeyed 15, and I think Simon did as well. Yeah, that was when it was officially like, they're going to have to go like Eagle, Ace, Eagle, Birdie, Ace, Eagle, Eagle, or something crazy like that mm-hmm. to catch him. And so then you saw it like official. You had like Luke Humphreys run in. It was kind of weird timing because, and this is really lead card's fault. Lead card was so far behind that we had like 20 some minutes of coverage where you knew Matty O was the winner.
Yeah.
But it just couldn't be official yet. Yeah. Like he's signing the winner discs and everything. But like I wanted to see the post round interview and I wanted to see him hoist the trophy. And you just had to watch golf that mattered for like jockeying position. Like Eagle ended up in second, but it didn't matter if who's going to win.
Yeah, super weird.
And you had to watch like 4 holes of it, which kind of sucked. But
Birdie's going to have a field day.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on pace of play because like had it been those guys were in it and fighting, it would have been a very electric last 20 minutes of coverage because you would have been just waiting like who's going to win. But with all of them out of it, it was just like...
It's too big of a gap, man.
It was too big of a gap. So they needed to pick up the pace. What
did you think about the trophy?
It's same as always.
Well,
isn't it?
They had a disc the 1 year, remember?
MVP? No. That was OTB.
Or that was OTB.
MVP
right.
always it's just, has
it's always
big
the
sign.
Wooden thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine.
It's fine.
I definitely think it's a sign that's just hanging on the course somewhere because it's got the little eye hooks.
Does it really?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, no. Don't let that get found out.
Let me look
it's
this
like
up.
The door sign and they just unhook it to hand it to the champion.
Yeah, look. It's got the little hooks. Every time.
That's interesting.
So I've always thought that it's just a sign somewhere and they hand it to them.
I mean, it doesn't look bad.
No, but it's fine.
It's big. It, you know, their logo. I
now,
like
I
the
will
MVP
say,
the logo.
They must, because this is a different one than they handed Matty O, right?
No. This year they looked the same. At least I saw Haley hoisting it for sure, and it was the same.
Yeah, you're right. It's the same.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's just a sign somewhere on the course.
Interesting.
But I don't mind it. It looks us. Like a trophy, kind
of. He doesn't mind it, guys.
It's big, and at least it, like...
It has a tournament
it name doesn't,
on it. It looks significant.
Nobody, yeah, nobody looks at it and is at least like, what the heck?
But, yeah, Matty O...
You wanted to at least look like someone won something.
What
yeah.
the heck?
Not Matty O ended up... He ended up winning by 4, and it was a great moment.
I got it. That's got to be one of the biggest wins off of the Chase card in a long
time.
Well,
they said since 2017, so 6 years now, the person who's led MVP going into the final round has not won. Six years straight now.
That course, I mean, Maple Hill, man. And this is actually an interesting topic. I don't know if you've written this down, but you see more posts than usual. I think I saw 4 or 5 posts that were read something like this. I know I saw at least one from Gannon and at least one from Yuli. Today's round was really frustrating. Felt like I threw the disc better than I had either of the previous rounds and just didn't get any of the breaks. I do think Maple Hill is one of the, like, it's a course like that. Where like guys go out there and can throw it better than certain days and just like, it's the thing of with Woods Golf where it's like, if you miss big, sometimes it's better than missing small.
Yeah.
And that's why, I mean, that course provides chaos.
It does.
Like,
well, I mean, even
there is just scores all over the
hole
place.
Hole 14, for example, Matty O threw, if the green was, and it's not, you have to factor in skips, but just roll with me here.
I'm rolling.
If the green was hit and stick, Matty O threw a worse shot than Eagle McMahon, yet was left with a much closer putt because Matty O ended up short, and you have to factor this in, so he threw a better shot all in all because you do have to factor in the ground play.
Of course.
But he threw it shorter, and there's this patch of grass. He hit the patch of grass and stuck. Eagle McMahon threw it closer, both with similar velocity, similar angle, but Eagle hit the like mulch dirt and skipped into the crowd. And that's the type of thing of like, I think that's why the players feel like that sometimes, is there's a lot of fast greens like that where it's almost if you throw a quote-unquote worse shot distance-wise, you're rewarded, but it's because you have to have the touch. And
you can't
just
pay attention to the flight. You have to pay attention to the landing of the disc as well.
I personally, I think that's what this East Coast golf end of the year does, is you got to have touch. There's when you're on golf courses and stuff like that, you can play for skips, you can play for a lot of stuff, and you don't need that like soft landing touch. And that's what disc golf a lot of times like is all about, is that soft landing touch. And I think that's that's why we see historically, obviously Paul's not playing this year, but I think that's why we see Paul down the stretch start to succeed, is I think he's a very good angle control touch player.
That is very true.
And when you get to a course like this, that's why I thought Isaac Robinson was going to do so good. It's not like he did awful. But he didn't do great.
He took 19th.
Yeah, he came in 19th. But that's why I thought he was going to do so good, is this course requires that like soft landing touch aspect of the game. I think that's why players can feel like that sometimes. It's like,
it's interesting.
If you're throwing good, but your angle control is a little off or your speed control is off, even though you're hitting lines, that's spin, only one part of it.
The spin, speed, and angle, That's a very good point, Hunter.
I mean, the bottom line is, you know, from a spectator point of view, and obviously not all the courses are like this, but it is pretty fascinating to have a course where a guy in contention can shoot plus three one round and 10 under the next. That's, you know, that's pretty insane range.
I love it.
It has a ton of range. And, you know, bottom line, the leaderboard was stacked, right? Like there was a ton of really good players up at the top. So it's not like this is providing flukes. I can understand it. It's probably very frustrating. We all know how playing the woods can be very frustrating when when the guy in front of you throws a worse shot and gets a sneaky backdoor line and you miss your line by an inch and kick 1,000 feet left. Like that is, it
just
is
hit
what
your
it
line.
Is.
What
but
happen?
If you hit, I would say if you throw shots down the middle, you give yourself a pretty good chance.
That's what I think this
course is a lot of fun.
I think there's maybe one or two shots I remember this weekend where a shot like was in the middle of the fairway and got unlucky.
What did the new hole 9 end up playing?
It was the toughest hole of it all.
Brutal.
Yeah, it was
nobody
see,
was
is there
making
a way to go all
hole.
Rounds. I mean, now you do have to remember here what this course, what this playoff event does is this is the top like 80 players.
Yes.
So holes play easier than they would typically on a pro tour because if you add another 80 guys that didn't make it here, it makes holes tougher. So you have to remember that when looking at other courses, but hole 9 still the final round played 0.6 strokes over par as a par 4. I feel like it probably would have been closer to like 1.2.
And that's significantly higher than the next easiest. Next hardest.
Now it wasn't the hardest hole round 3, but round 3 was the wind round.
Yeah, there's
which I saw a few complaining posts about the wind stoppage because the wind was crazy all day, according to guys, and they were like, I played my entire round in it, and now the lead card's going off, you're going to have a wind stoppage?
Yeah, it was a little interesting.
I mean, it looked like it was pretty...
It was pretty intense.
Is probably for the best, safety-wise.
Did we get any blowtorch tee pads?
I don't know. I didn't see that.
I really wanted to see some B-roll.
Now, here's what we have to do, though, before because there's like a few more storylines, but we're going to get off the Matty O one, okay? Matty O has done it. He's won. He shut Trevor up. Trevor's the only guy that believed he couldn't win. He shut him up. So
I would get a Matty O t-shirt
to celebrate this.
Probably. Or like the fedora he used to wear.
Oh yeah.
To celebrate this, if you want to build your bag like Matty O, you want to use the discs he's using, maybe even pick up a signature Matty O harp or the
Adi.
We're going to have a discount code on all Trilogy. We'll make it Can Win because Matty O can win.
Heck
he has
yeah.
one. So Can Win.
All one word.
10% off all Trilogy. Go eat your heart out. Use it up. That's what that means, right?
yeah. It's the correct way to use it.
I don't know why that was the phrase that came to mind, but there you go. And, you know, maybe leave a little, like, a joke towards Trevor, because Trevor, again, was the only person that believed Matty O couldn't win. Connor and I were always team, It's just his day's coming.
Hey, man, you can't join my team. I love Matty O.
So here,
you
don't. Well, here's
we're
my
on
question.
Team Matty O here. Trevor's on an island by himself. Here's, can win. Rub it in Trevor's face.
Here's my question is, okay. if we're saying Matty O was the best player without an Elite Series win,
okay.
if we're saying that, and I'd have to look down the list to know if that was even the case before.
Who, that is what people were saying.
Who is it now? Who is now the best player?
Has Aaron Gossage won one?
No, are you going straight to Gossage?
I mean, I don't know. That's probably that was my next story.
Pull up the rankings. The Gooseman's good.
I'm just saying.
I just feel like we're going to forget someone who has won one. We're looking at Anthony Barella.
That's probably the answer. It's probably AB at this point. He is, as according to the UDisc rankings, he's certainly the one that's highest in the rankings that doesn't have one.
I've seen a lot of Aaron Gossage lately from
I don't think he has
editing play. Brody's videos, and it is just. He is so good. He is so
Gossage
good.
Gossage is
yeah.
Good.
So this final
his putting
round
isn't great.
This final
is not good.
Yeah. Yeah. This final round, he made a push earlier than Matty O.
I thought he was going to get in there and win it.
Yeah. So he threw hole like 10 or 11. I don't know what stretch, but somewhere in the middle of that round, he was the solo leader, and it felt like he was the one people were chasing down.
Yeah.
When it was all said and done, what it really sealed the deal for him was he had a bogey on 15 and on 16 to Matty O's birdies, and he lost by four. So those are the four strokes right there that cost him, but still put together a heck of a final round
it's
at 7-under and jumped into
so
a second place.
Hard. Like what Matty O did on that stretch, 10 through 17 or 11 through 17 rather, like it is so hard to just go bogey free for a stretch of like eight holes or seven holes
but
on that course, but to birdie them all is just
and
insane.
He had a 60 footer and 2 40 footers to do it as well.
Being consistent on that course is so difficult.
Yeah.
It does. It is one of those courses where, like, I'm sure it's not perfect. I'd like to hear a lot of the pros talk about it, but it does. It produces a scorecard that when you look at all the scorecards at the end of the round, you're like, yeah, that's exciting. Because there's like,
well, the winner,
like, birdie, 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 double bogey, par, par, birdie, double
birdie, 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 just rocking like, everywhere.
That's right.
The winner, I mean, he finished at 23 under in a 4-round tournament, less than 6 under par average.
And had an even par round.
Yeah.
That sounds like, I like that.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. I don't think you like what I'm about to say.
Uh-oh.
That's what Woods Golf does. I think at the end of the day...
What do you think, Trevor?
Well,
do you
I
like
would,
it?
I would say that that's what Woods Golf does and or OB. If you have a lot of
but
OB
we've
people.
Seen a lot of OB, and the difficulty with OB is you can miss your line a little bit and you still get far down there.
Yeah, but I'm just saying OB can a
Woods,
lot of OB can still provide... It's the scoring separation, the low final scores.
Yeah,
can,
yeah, it's just not as exciting, I don't think. Because what Woods does is the scramble. You can almost be more punishing than
I
OB.
Listen, I don't like have a vendetta against Woods
you
Golf.
You do, though.
I just know deep down in my heart that the Pro Tour will continue to pick non-wooded venues. If this sport gets popular,
I agree.
They don't accommodate spectators like that or other such things. Like if you go to what USDGC is going on this year with the Vendors Village and all the spectators, and you try to throw that in the woods, forget it. It's not happening. So,
you
like,
know, that's a good segue into if you've ever wanted to sit and watch a grip lock go down live, watch a podcast go down live, come to USDGC this year. If you're anywhere within driving distance, make it happen. I promise you will not be disappointed. What they have going on there is incredible. I've heard there's over 50 vendors in the Vendor Village this year.
So much money.
You've
spent.
Got
that was a perfect whistle.
Yeah, it was very impressive. You've got some of the best golf you'll ever see.
Ever.
Extremely walkable course.
Mm-hmm.
You can even
walk
like
it.
Scooter it. It's
got
a great time to have family
I should bring my
there.
My one wheel.
You should. It's all around the best disc golf atmosphere I've ever been a part of.
Come on.
Every year it gets better and better. I've heard their plans for this year. It's going to be incredible. And like I said, we'll be there. We're going to be vending. We have a bunch of custom stamps we're dropping exclusively at USDGC. We're going to have Grip Locked live on the stage in Vendor Village with a little preview shows going on. It's very exciting times.
You're caddying for AB?
Trevor's trying to manifest that. Speak that into existence.
And I'm going to caddy for Trevor while he caddies for AB.
Dude.
I'm going to carry his phone and his keys.
That would be very helpful.
There's also like a spectator course. There's a lot to do at USDGC. So
you can spectate the course.
There's still time. There's still time to make your trip plans down there because it's in a
it's
few weeks.
It's so much fun. I'm so
if you're within driving distance, you got
to
make it happen.
I'm like genuinely giddy about going. I'm so excited to go.
Come it's like
bull
Christmas.
The boys.
Yeah, come bull with us.
Um,
you can stay in our Airbnb.
No, you can't. But anyways, that'll wrap up our
same thing like a minute ago.
That'll wrap up our MVP open talk, and we'll talk about the implications it had on the Pro Tour standings after the fan favorite segment, Trevor's Trivia.
Come on, Trev.
Yeah. All right.
Maybe we'll do that up from the stage. Trevor's Trivia with the crowd.
Yeah. Can Matty O win? Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yes.
So for those of you that are in the know.
I'm in the know. There's this thing, what am I in the know of?
There's this thing called Immaculate Grid that's yeah, kind of a trend.
I am in
it's
the
been
know.
Sweeping the nation. Baseballreference.com is this website that basically has like every baseball stat under the sun. And they started this thing where it's basically, there's probably a name for this, but the easiest way to say is it's a 3x3 grid.
Sudoku.
But it's not because you have to come up with things that connect them. Well, no, it is kind of like Sudoku. Yeah, it's kind of like Sudoku. Where basically across the top three, you would have like either a baseball team
mm-hmm.
or a statistic, or like it would say like they're in the Hall of Fame or something like that. And then going down the left side, you'd have other ones. And then you have to, where they connect, fill in a player that fits that
yep.
Thing. So if I had Yankees on the top one on the side and Orioles on the top one, the first Tim top Tebow. One, you'd have to find a player that played for both the Yankees and the Orioles. Mm. That would be how it works.
Michael Jackson.
They eventually expanded this to a bunch of other sports. Very fun. And I wanted a disc golf one. And one of yeah. our Patreons made
come on
a disc patrons. Golf one. He wrote down all the possible names for each one in the boxes so that you had to pick from. It's really hard.
Wow. Can we please work together?
Yes.
Thank you.
Normally in Immaculate Grid, there's 9 spots you're trying to fill. You literally get 1 guess per box. So if you have 9 total guesses to get as many as you can, so if you get it perfect, that means you go 9 for 9 and you got all of them filled. So like normally I'll get like 5 or 6.
Tough.
It's very
flex
difficult. It's very difficult. There are some guys that dominate. Okay. So the way that we are going to do this is I'm going to give you, instead of 9 total guesses, I'm going to give you 12.
Okay.
Because this is very difficult. And I'll start with ones I think are a little bit easier, and then we'll kind of work our way to the difficult ones. So the very first, and remember, if I read you one that there's a ton of possibilities for, you may want to try to go for a more obscure name rather yeah, than a super so popular one. So you can later. Save, you only can use a player once.
Okay.
So you might just not want to throw a name out that's super, like would fit a ton of different questions. Mm-hmm. When yeah.
I just need to hear how this is going to happen. So because I'm right now very confused. Like, I think I understand it. Just start the game.
Your first square.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll read them all first and then we'll go one by one. So you're going to have to get across the top. You have 1+ major win, ace in the 2023 season, and 0 major plus elite series wins. And going down the side, you have 35+ majors played. Not one played. Greater than 1030 average round rating for Pro Tour major events this year. And current star team or team champion for Innova. So those are your categories. So your very first one you need to do is somebody who has 1+ major win and 35+ majors played.
Oh my gosh, this is hard.
1+ major win and 35+ majors played?
1+.
Anybody that fits that category. This is your easiest
category.
There's
a lot category. There. Well, you're yeah, saying so like don't...
Choose a more obscure one so that it doesn't have to be used for this.
Yeah,
like you choose typically a less popular player.
You typically want to, if you kind of think of one, you're like, ooh, that's kind of obscure.
I mean, with everything with he it. Just said, I think we're fine to go Paul Macbeth there.
Okay.
Because I don't think Paul fits the other ones.
Okay.
I think let's yeah. just go Paul Macbeth.
Sure. Paul checks
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're right. Go. None of them sound one uniquely for one. Paul Macbeth. So.
Paul checks that box. That box is completed. We'll go down here, and this is still in the 1+ major win category. They need to have at least 1 major win.
Okay.
And then this person also has to have a greater than 1030 average round rating for Pro Tour and major events this season.
This season.
1+ major win and greater than 1030 average rating. Just at Pro Tours?
Pro Tour and majors this season.
Greater than 1030 average, mm-hmm. 1+ major win.
It's just 1+ major win overall? Ever? Okay. Who would have...
Probably Eagle McMahon.
Okay.
I feel like he's played pretty solid all year.
Mm-hmm.
He had the injury at the beginning. He has a major win. And he's high rated. He's always high rated.
Is that your pick?
Okay.
You like that?
Yeah, I like it.
Eagle McMahon.
That is correct. That he is.
Heck yeah.
He was one of 6 Okay. Idle people. So that's right. A good one. All right. The last one in this row, you're doing very, or column, I should say, you're doing very good, is one plus major win and current star team or team champion for Innova.
Okay.
Nate Sexton.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still just thinking about this season. That makes
that
sense.
That is correct. Yeah. There you go. All right. You're 3 for 3 and you're come on, through Big Hunt. The first column. Come very on, Big good. Hunt. We're going to go to the second column now. This is one that is a bit more difficult.
Okay.
This first one is, this is the ace in 2023 season column.
Yeah, that's going to be
ace in the 2023 season and 35 plus majors played.
Nico LeCastro. He has aced like 4 times this weekend, true. And he's had to have played 35 majors.
That's true. I was thinking, yeah.
That is makes, one of two sense. People. That was the hardest category.
Heck yeah. Ooh, so, can we know the other person afterwards, I guess?
I can tell you because they're not available for anything else. It was Nate Sexton. So you only had one possible.
And we already used Nate Sexton.
You guessed it. Okay, yes, wow. So that was very good.
Wait, he aced this season?
He aced yesterday.
Oh.
Or 2 days ago.
Cool beans.
No, I think it was yesterday, too. He had 2 aces at MVP.
All right. Nate Sexton did not play.
Yeah,
MVP.
Not Sexton.
He was asking about Sexton.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't know when, like, I don't know when Sexton like, got what? His. The next one is ace in the 2023 season and the greater than 1030 average round rating at Pro Tour major events. You can do this. I believe in you.
The aces I just don't pay much attention to. That's the problem.
I know you can do this. Think.
We got to just think who's had greater than 1030 and we just got to
I know shoot you, from the hip. I know you can figure this one out.
The more you say that, the less confident
I believe
me.
In you. I believe in you.
Who so, aced? I feel like
my two thoughts.
Yep.
I feel like Isaac Robinson had an ace.
That's
he's played very good. He's had some bad finishes. The other player is 100% in the 1030 category. It's just did they ace Calvin Heimberg? I don't know if Calvin aced. I kind of feel like he did. I don't know if that's last year.
I feel like I remember. I can see aces happening, but I can't remember who they are.
I'm the same boat. I feel like I remember a Calvin Heimberg reaction to an ace. I just don't know if I remember it from last year or this year.
I don't, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen.
I think let's do it. Calvin Heimberg.
Yes. Thank you.
Come on.
He just had that. It was, he was trying to chase somebody down. I forget exactly what tournament it was, but it was a big deal.
It was like the most emotions he's ever shown.
Yeah, he freaked out. It was only a few weeks ago. All right, you're still perfect, 5 for 5.
Okay, come on, Big Hunt.
If you can get through this one, you might actually be able to do it. So this is another ace in the 2023 season.
Gosh, I hate that.
And current star team or team champion for Innova. There are only, I'll say this, there are only two possible people that you can get because
I already used
Calvin and Nate are already used.
Why do I feel like Jeremy Colin aced?
Do
you
know.
Feel it?
I mean, he
Are
seems
you
like
feeling
a guy,
it now, Mr. Kraft?
He seems like a guy that would.
Well,
ace.
I mean, we gotta think. Team
now
is this FPO two?
You also, yeah, if you'd like FPO2? To, we can skip this category and we can go to the other ones, and then you can come back because that's how this game usually works. Is you can kind of fill in ones you know. So we can skip it if you don't. If you're well, like,
does this FPO two?
Yeah, that's what I wanted.
Huh? Just no, FPO. These are all MPO
okay,
players.
Okay, so let's think team star and champ. Okay, really quick, let's just think through. Calvin already used them. Sexton already used them. Coling on the table. Who else is there? Joel
Greg
Freeman.
Barsby.
Greg Barsby. Did Barsby low key ace out of nowhere?
I don't know.
Joel Freeman sneakily could have, but is he actually on team champ or star? I think he's team champion. Double G. Did Double G ace?
I don't know. Sounds maybe familiar. I don't know.
The
I don't
aces,
know.
I just don't
Hunter.
Keep up with aces.
Yeah.
That's the hard thing of this. Is like, that's such a dumb stat, I feel like, because it's just out of the blue. Like,
it is a very
you could
tough
ace
one.
On a, in 120th, and I would never hear about it.
Yeah,
it's
a very tough one.
I feel like I could sneaky feel Double G, but
let's skip it. Let's skip it and come back.
I like it. I like it.
Let's skip it. We skip and come back. Because if we come back and we do everything else perfect, we'll have 4 guesses.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right. You're right. You're right.
All right. Staying at 5 for 5 and move on. I actually changed my mind. This one was going to be pretty easy, but since Matteo won, it is probably the hardest one now.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And this is the 0 major plus elite series wins category.
Okay.
And the first one is 0 major and elite series wins and 35 plus majors played.
0 elite series and major win.
This is very difficult.
And 35 plus played.
Very, very difficult. Okay. I would
so
be
someone who's got to be on tour for
I'd be
a while.
I'd be astounded if you got this right.
Really?
And okay. They can't
it's a short
one.
List. short list.
Elite Series and Major?
Because 35 majors played.
So who just hasn't won?
And it's Elite Series and Majors.
Yes.
So they just have never won anything.
That counts NTs. Like, yeah, they just have never had a big win. But they've played in 35-plus majors. Which is a lot.
That is a lot.
So I mean, it's got to be like 9 years at least on tour.
Okay.
At least.
That I needed
but
that.
Probably closer to 10 or 12. I needed that. Probably, that you know idea. What? Let's ride with 12. Because there's 4 a year. If you play all 4 for 9 years straight, you're at 36.
Yeah.
But no one's playing all 4 for 9 years straight. Because that means they're going to like the Aussie Open in Australia. And if they're not winning, they're not going there every year.
Uh-huh. Whoever this is deserves a win.
Kale Visca.
And we can move down
again.
Has he
won anything?
The other two in this column are easier if you want to move down and come back.
What do you think? Before we move down, let's just think here for a second and then we'll move down. Has Kale Visca ever won anything?
No, but he's definitely been
He would definitely check the first box of 35 majors, but has he won Elite Series or a major, like anything, ever?
He has so much to his name, it feels like, but I can't think of any of it.
Paul Ulibarri. Surely. He's been on so many lead cards, but I feel like he's never won. I feel like he's never done it. No, because Yuli would have been known as the greatest to have never done it over Matty O. Because he'd been touring longer. Matty O, remember, got on tour like 2 years ago. The dude didn't tour, like went through a whole stretch of his career where he just didn't tour. He just played Alabama courses.
Yeah, but did you... Yep.
All right, let's skip down. Let's skip down.
So I want to skip it.
Next one down is 0 major... plus Elite Series wins, and a greater than 1030 average round rating this season.
Can we go back up for a second? Let's just get back into the previous one. KJ Naibo, maybe. Has he ever won anything
big? Oh, yeah, because he's been playing for forever. He's just another person where I feel like there's so much behind his name.
Okay, let's just get back down and repeat what you just said.
So 0 major plus Elite Series wins, and a greater than 1030 average round rating this season.
Anthony Barella, right?
Oh, I could see that.
Yeah, I think let's go with AB.
Correct.
Yeah.
Come on, Hunter.
All right, the last one in this line here.
So we're going to have two left after this, Connor.
0 major plus Elite Series wins and current star team or team champion for Innova.
Okay.
So that is going to be tough because...
What did Joel Freeman win?
Okay, well, hold up.
Sorry.
Joel Freeman's only ever won a silver event, I think.
Okay.
So that's probably a good answer.
Okay.
Philo Brathwaite. Has he ever won an NT?
Did he win whenever he got Beaver his albatross?
I don't feel like he did.
I don't know either.
Okay, Joel Freeman for this one.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, so we have the two left.
So now
we've got four guesses. Where are we at?
We're seven for seven.
So we have five guesses to get two names.
Correct.
I feel like we had...
So we can throw some stuff. So
I feel like we had better names for the first question.
0 major plus Elite Series wins and 35 majors played.
That's a tough one, I think. Okay, what's the ace
this
year?
And then you have the ace in 2023 season and current star team or team champion.
I feel like we have better chance at guessing that one because the star and champ.
Okay, let's go to the ace this year.
I mean, if y'all get this perfect, like my mind would be blown.
Okay, so our options here, double G,
ace
maybe.
Ace this year and a champ, team champ.
Yeah, or star.
Well, we just got rid of Joel Freeman.
Yeah, we did. So we got an option of double G.
Joel Freeman was not on the list anyways.
Okay, we've got an option of...
Big Germ. I think let's go Jeremy Kohling.
Okay.
I feel it. Jeremy Kohling.
Wrong.
I didn't feel it. Okay, we're fine. We got four more guesses.
You felt it. You're just feeling the wrong thing. It's okay.
Okay, did double G ace. If we use double G here, we can't use him the other place.
Ooh,
but I don't know
what
if
was
double
the other one again?
Double G surely won something.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like that about every
silver events just blur everything.
Well, it's also you have to play 35 plus majors.
True.
I don't think it's
double G.
Okay, do we like double G here? Ace this year? I don't know about aces.
Like, I'm convincing myself that I've heard about him acing, but I'm not sure.
Okay, you know what? Let's roll with it. Double G.
That's correct.
Yes, Connor. Yes! Come on, Connor.
Come on.
All right, so we have what? Three guesses for this
three
last
guesses
one?
Guesses for the last one.
We had some
in
good
real
options.
In real Immaculate Grid, you would have gone 8 for 9 though, and that's still very impressive.
Okay.
But you got the three bonus guesses to get 0 major plus Elite Series wins and 35 plus majors played. The last one.
I think we start with Philo. Let's just try that.
Okay.
Philo Brathwaite.
That's correct.
Yes! Come on!
The only people on that list, Philo Brathwaite, Johnny McRae, and Dave Dunipace.
Wow.
Oh.
All right. So Philo was the only one we were getting.
Like, literally, this, when I was Nate McLean, shout out Nate McLean, he's the one who made this grid. And I was so excited. And then I looked at it and I was like, this is hard. Like, there is like two or three names on like four of these.
Man, if we would have went Philo, we could have went into that last one with a chance to go perfect.
The other guy that sneaky fit a couple of those categories was Nathan Queen, because he's on like team, either the star team or the champ team. Mm-hmm. But you guys did a really good job.
I love games where we work together, because I can just let Hunter just has all the facts, so he just bounces them off of me, and I just go, yes, no, yes, I don't know.
Nate, the ace one is what scared me, because like I just don't.
That's a tough one.
I don't know when people ace.
I'm out there. As soon as you thought of Philo, I was like, oh my gosh, they're going to do it, because like I didn't think you were going to pull out Philo's name, and I knew you needed him to get that last one, because Johnny McRae.
I was never going to Johnny.
I would
Dave
Dunapace,
of course.
I would have. Johnny McRae is for some reason always in the back of my head. I don't know why.
If you're listening to this, Nate, make us another one.
That
was very fun.
That was a good time.
That was very difficult. I'm sure it was a lot of work too. So
yeah,
yeah. I don't know how he made that.
Apparently, somebody's working on like making one and integrating it. Like, because I messaged Stat Mando about it, because that's how like Baseball Reference does. They integrate their database. You start typing out a name and it brings up like the name and you click it. If somebody did this for disc golf, it'd be awesome.
It would be.
It'd be great.
Very fun.
We could do like a co-branding thing. Trevor's Trivia.
Trevor's Immaculate.
Trevor's Immaculate Grid.
Immaculate.
Nope, just Trevor. Trevor is Immaculate.
Trevor.
Immaculate Trevor.
I'm Immaculate.
This past weekend obviously had the final implications on the tour championship, who's making it. So a lot of movement
was
going on.
The FBO cut line was crazy.
So I got
two words
here.
For you. Holly Finley.
So this is an interesting one. Okay, top 18 qualify for the tour championship. Valerie Mandahano, auto in Idlewild. Paige Pierce, auto in open at Alton.
Injured
Austin,
in.
Paige Pierce, not going to be there. So you have a gap that's open.
Presumably.
Presumably. So the top 18 should technically be the top 19. That's what it should be. Because it should bump down, because 20 players get in, I do believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have outside of the cut Valerie Mandahano and Paige Pierce. Paige not going to be there. Valerie Mandahano will be there, which if that's true, then last one in is Juliana Korver. Shout out the Canadian tournament.
Shout out to the Canadian tournament.
The silver event deciding it. Gotta love that. And then first one out, Henna Blomroos. She jumped up this weekend. She had a pretty good weekend out there.
Close.
But ended up being 20.
That's crazy. I would have
20
never,
points on the outside looking in.
Would have never thought.
Another player who moved pretty significantly in and secured their spot, Holly Finley.
She was the only one that went from outside the cut line to in.
Yeah, Juliana Korver dropped below the cut line, but again, we're assuming she's in based on Paige Pierce
Holly
not
Finley
playing.
Holly Finley took fifth and heroically jumped in there, and that was...
Yeah, she moved up five
spots. That's going to earn a lot of money, potentially. That was
That's a big difference.
That was crazy.
So the current top five coming into the tour championship, which again, this has different stroke advantages and stuff like that. Kristen Tatar, the season-long winner with 1,328 points. In second place, you have Missy Gannon at 1,200 points. Then you have Owen Scoggins at 1,140 points. And then Holland Hanley moved up to fourth with 1,099 points. And Ella Hansen dropped down to fifth with 1,072 points. That's your top five to finish the season out. Now, over on MPO, things are a little crazy again.
A little crazy.
Because Parker Welk, auto in for winning DDO. So
that
32 cut line, now moved to 31. But Paul McBeth is within that cut line. As of now, he is not playing.
Yeah, good point.
If he does not play, that bumps it back down to 32.
Oh my gosh.
Making
Yuli
Paul Ulibarri in.
Wow.
If Paul
Jumped
McBeth,
up two spots.
Yeah, Yuli played very good out there this weekend. He got to 32nd, and again, assuming Paul McBeth does not play, Paul Ulibarri is in.
I love Paul Ulibarri.
So Ulibarri would be the first one in. Double G would be the first one out. Ulibarri had a very bad start to the season.
He did. He was hurt, though.
He was hurt.
Haters don't want to hear that.
He was way down there. He was way down. I think he was in like 80-something in tour
he
points.
He is making a charge
and
on
then,
the East Coast swing.
Yeah.
He's like the new Paul McBeth.
Mid-season on... He's charged, and he's got himself
There's
into the Tour
Paul
Championship. Again, assuming, which for everything we know, Paul McBeth is not playing the Tour Championship.
Can the real East Coast Paul stand up, please?
Yeah.
You know?
Is he right, boys?
Paul
right?
posted after Worlds that he was done for the season. He's dealing with an injury, and obviously he has a baby on the way. All those factors. Currently, Paul McBeth will not be the Tour Championship. If that's true, Paul Ulibarri's in. also barely in. Mason Ford, he dropped down two spots, almost dropped out of it. Andrew Presnell, Emerson Keith, Nico LaCastro, those are the ones that are guaranteed in, but towards the bottom. And again, Double G, Robert Burridge. Robert Burridge dropped out of it. Chandler Kramer tough. Dropped out from contention. So Robert Burridge, Chandler Kramer out. Double G moved up two spots, but not enough. And that's that. So the top five final finishing it out. Calvin Heimberg, first place, 1,245 points. Isaac Robinson, second place, 1,082 points. Gannon Burr, third place, 1,078 points. Ricky Wysocki, fourth place, 979 points. Eagle McMahon, fifth place, 971 points. The other thing I want to talk about when I was looking at this, because they did this little, well, first off, sidestep. They did the, like, top four trophy presentation after this final round of the MVP Open. And they've always done it, but it kind of confuses me because we still have the tour championship. And, like, even when he was talking about it, he was, like, culminating the season, wrapping it all up, and then kept saying, like, but don't forget we have one more event, which is the tour championship. So it's kind of like a weird feel. Well, the Pro Tour, I don't understand.
They can't decide if they want to, like, make it a thing that you finish at the top of the standings at the end of the year, or if they just want it to be kind of have, like, the winner take all feel that they kind of end up giving out.
Well, I would personally think both can exist, but I think you either end it here and then you give just give the awards out at the Tour Championship, like, let it just be done.
Yeah.
But I also think let the Tour Championship count for points. You're giving the guy who's in the lead an advantage, a stroke advantage. Like, if it's close, let him duke it out. Calvin Heimberg will have a stroke advantage. In this scenario, he's not losing. He's still going to win. But, like, you could have Gannon Burr jump Isaac Robinson.
Well, I think the points thing is thrown out the door. I think that whoever, my whole thing is, I think whoever finishes on the top of the final event, the Tour Championship, the way that they've structured it now, because, like, the way that the PGA Tour did it now, they've only kind of done this halfway. But in my opinion, the points, all they do is set your position, and then you play with those head starts, and then whoever finishes on top, that's the winner. That's the only one we talk about. They won the Tour Championship.
It would be clearer for marketing.
Yeah, having the two is where it gets confusing, because then it's like, and like, Calvin doesn't, he's not really getting anything other than the head start. Like, that's what this all matters for. It's not an event, you know. It's just a cumulative amount of points that you get over the course of the season. Yes, it's impressive, but, like, there's not really a way to do both, because no matter, even if you hand him a little trophy, he's going to be overshadowed by the person with a check for $40,000 who won the, like, that's the one that matters.
Well, I think what you're saying is true. I think that's what should happen. I think it should be, if for that to happen, more aggressive head starts. And the head starts, obviously, this should go without saying, shouldn't reset after round two.
Well, that's the big issue. Which doesn't make any sense. It's the reset. Yeah,
You go two rounds, it's like, we're going to try to make sure everyone makes it, but then we're just going to reset after round two.
That's what I'm saying. That doesn't make any sense. They just haven't really decided, like, what they really consider, like, the champion, I guess, or how they balance, like, well, do we give credit to the person who finished at the top of the season? But, like, I think it's not the finish, though. That's the thing, is, like, people are saying, like, oh, well, Calvin finished the season on top. Well, the season's not over. There's the Tour Championship. That's part of the season.
And you have USDGC.
Yeah.
Which, like, obviously is not part of the season right now, but, like, the Tour Championship, in my opinion, in the current thing, where the current thing, I feel like the Pro Tour is trying to put weight on points, right? Like, they're trying to, like, have the points have some weight. If you want that to be true, I think the two ways to do it are either A, have the Tour Championship count towards points, and the true Tour Champion is whoever comes out on top post points, or B, what makes the most sense is, I think, make the stroke head starts more aggressive and let it just ride for four rounds. So give Calvin, right now I think he's going to start at, like, one stroke under over Isaac, make that three or something. Like, go 10 under to 7 under to 5 under, 4-3.
I don't think you do that, because then you make potentially boring golf. Like,
that's fine.
No, it's not. Nobody wants to watch boring golf. I mean, nobody would watch it.
Well, if we're making it for, like, Calvin's work for the entire season should earn him more than one stroke.
Well, maybe if he blew everybody else out of the water, but he
kind of did. No, he's like 250 points ahead.
Going into the last event, though, it was still very close. I don't think you give too big of a head start, because then you just make it not as fun to watch.
Well,
I don't want to watch a golf event where somebody starts three strokes ahead of the rest of the field. I don't want to watch that.
I do. Because I don't think it matters across four rounds.
Well, it's three strokes. I think one stroke is fine, because the point is that he will have 10 strokes over the guy in 11th or 10th or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that's the point of the stroke head start.
But I still think that you want to, if we're going the route of the Tour Champion decides all, like, whoever wins the Tour Championship, it should be heavily favored to the person who has
I don't think you should. I don't think you should make. You should make big events tough to follow if people weren't tracking. Like, people ultimately, you want each event to have its own punch. And I think if you just start, if people get caught up too much in placing emphasis on the points and the point, no, like, not enough people are following the entirety of the season. For, like, I don't think you, I think you need to be, make sure that each event has its own punch.
I mean, so FedEx Cup starts with a 2-stroke head start. They go 10 under, 8 under, 7 under, 6 under, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Well, I think it's okay maybe if you go after the first one, I guess, if you go one at a time. I just don't like if it went like 10, 7, 5, like if it, because then
okay, so, you get so to where 10, the, 8, 7.
That would be okay, I guess. Okay. I just
want the first place to have a bigger head start and let it ride the whole way.
Yeah, I more didn't like it if first place had like a 10-stroke advantage over sixth, because if it keeps going down by that much. But I mean, I'm okay with that. That's a compromise.
I mean, they have 6 strokes over 6 in this case. Well, and I like that.
Well,
sixth place.
10 strokes.
I know, but they wouldn't have 10 in mind. They'd have 10 over number 30.
Well, weren't you saying they would?
I went 10, 7, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So 10, 7, 5, 4, 3, 2. So I would have went 5 to 10. So it would have been like 7 strokes over 5th through 10th.
They do the ranges too. Is the Pro Tour doing that?
Yeah.
Like the range thing?
Yeah, yeah. They are.
Yeah,
you have to do range, because if not, you're going to end up with 30 right. at 35 yeah, that, over that par going into the weekend.
The reset is definitely the
reset's the wrench that the Pro Tour needs to get out of there.
The weird thing.
But in my opinion, I agree. I think the Tour Championship should decide it. I think the stroke head start should be more aggressive, and it should last all 4 rounds.
Yeah, I think like if you're going to do anything, like maybe like, oh, we'll give you a $5,000 bonus for finishing on top of the points. But like I said, it's like then it's weird if they decide to add some kind of finality to something that isn't final. Like if you have a tour championship, yeah, that's the final, handing out trophies, it's a weird look.
Like, for instance, Nate look. Queen a few years ago won the tour championship. Who won the points that season?
I don't know. Exactly. Yeah, it overshot.
Probably Ricky.
Right.
But I don't remember.
It's because the money is so much that like that's the thing. That's what this matters for.
Yeah, I think that's the point I'm trying to get across. Is like, if we're trying to make this a thing, let's make it a thing. But anyway, secondary thing I noticed, Ricky Wysocki had himself a pretty impressive season, because when you think about it, he missed the first decent little chunk, right? He came out and then went back, right? Like he had a chunk in the middle here. I'm trying to see what it actually was.
That was pretty
inconsistent. So he didn't make his he didn't make his tour appearance until the Music City, which was April. So he missed LVC, Waco, Open at Austin. And I think he DNF'd to Texas States maybe, but anyways, he missed 3 silver events and 3 elite events to start the season off, which he also typically does pretty good at a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And then made his appearance at Music City, missed OTB again with another flare up, and then basically toured from there on out and was able to get himself to 4th place.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive season. We were talking about it with Paul, where I feel like Ricky's done a better job adapting to this new, like his brand, to the new modern era of play, where when I saw Ricky in 4th, I was like, man, Ricky's still up there. Like Ricky's still contending. Because for some reason, maybe it's because Paul was dominant over Rick for a stretch. But I feel like Paul, when Paul doesn't win and is not in contention for wins, I immediately feel as though Paul's having a rough season.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the case. But I didn't feel like Ricky was having a rough season. I'm actually surprised at how good of a season Rick ended up having. I didn't think it was as good as it ended up being. But for some reason, I just don't associate Rick with that. And I think that in the modern disc golf era, that's where you got to be. Because Rick kind of had a quiet season.
He did fine.
And he ended in 4th.
Yeah.
It was impressive.
He got his win, you know? He got his win, and...
I still like him a lot for USDGC.
Yeah, season's not over either, and he, you know, he's the defending tour champion, I believe.
I believe so.
Yeah, beat Isaac last year. I think that was just last year. I there's only so many Pro Tour Elite Series events to win, and there's a list of like 6 or 7 guys that are probably going to win at least one, maybe 2. And that's just the way it is now. And if you're Rick, I think for Rick, he would have loved to double up on the Elite Series. I mean, getting USDGC would do that for him. I still think, you know, he had a silver and then he had the Preserve. It was the Preserve, I believe won. And so I think for him, like that's falling a little bit flat. But there's still a chance at USDGC to make that up, or even at the Tour Championship, bring him a big payday. and it's not a bad season at all.
How much does a Tour Championship weigh to you win-wise?
Win-wise, not much. Players, like if I'm a player and it's my season perception, a bunch, because I just made a bag. And also, it's just a way you ride into the offseason thinking on a high note, basically. Yeah. So yeah, I'm not going to be like, it's usually just like a little kicker almost. Like I would add, if two guys were tied and had very similar resume, I'd be like, well, this guy, you know, he won the Tour Championship. Let's give him that. I will say this, in the new format, it's a little less fluky. So like I would maybe credit, but I don't think it, unless it were, you know, four rounds of normal golf, which I don't believe it ever will be, then you can't really just say
no.
Now, if a guy, I mean, I guess if you were like somebody who was a ton of strokes back and came back, but
he resets after round two. So.
Right. Yeah. It's a weird one.
I think in the current format, it means more than it has previously because it's less fluky. You don't have that thing of players getting really hot and then
right.
the other players getting thrown in the mix and hoping they can play.
Yeah.
So it's less fluky in that sense, but it doesn't mean as much as I would say the Tour Championship win wise. If it comes down to Player of the Year, I would count it about the same as a silver event.
Yeah.
What are we saying?
What are our guesses? I don't think there's been a purse reveal. Now that we're doing this segment, I'm sure it'll come out today. But I think 35K was the winner's check last year.
I'm going to say it gets to 50.
What did Worlds do? 30?
30.
30? I think it gets
Matty
to 50.
Matty O won 18 this weekend.
That's nice.
I think it's a 50.
I think it gets to 50 as well.
That'd be dope.
I think they get to 50. Maybe 4. It's like, because
I just
like,
think 40 will kind of fall a little flat. It'll be like,
if it only goes up 5K, I would be like, that wasn't that great. And if they get to 45, like surely they can get to 50.
Yeah, you
can get to 50. Because like 50 would be insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it gets to 50.
Just take 5,000, like give everyone that showed up $500 less to give the winner 50.
I think it gets to 50 this year.
It'd be great.
We'll see.
We'll see if we're Barbasol, a few weeks away.
Barbasol gonna dish out.
Yeah, we'll find out in a few weeks. We got Griplock Power Rankings to wrap the show up.
We'll find out in a few hours, Hunter. We just recorded Griplock.
That's true. Right now, we have Calvin Heimberg 1, Isaac 2, Gannon 3, Eagle 4. Ricky 5, Simon 6, Cole Rodallin 7, Proctor 8, AB 9, Paul McBeth 10.
Did Matty O wasn't even in?
He wasn't in.
Okay. Well, he's Paul,
sneak in.
Paul's gone.
Let's just bump Paul for Matty O.
Paul's gone.
Start there.
And then I think it's just a matter, really, this is going to be a matter of how far up do we move Matty O, because the other guys aren't really going to have to shift much. It's not really going to make a huge difference.
No, because the thing was, I think most of them played solid this past weekend.
Yeah, I'm saying pretty much all of those guys were hanging around the top 20.
Let's just go MPO. Let's go Matty O, Matt Orem versus Barella Anthony. And let's just go since, what, probably July now that we're in September?
Yeah.
July 1st or the end of the year, compare. Matty O beats him 4-3 with one win. All right. Now let's go Matty O versus the proctologist. Compare.
I think Matty O is going to have a pretty convincing resume.
Matty O beats James Proctor. Yeah. All right, now let's go Matty O versus Sir Rodallin.
I think we were holding him out because he hadn't won, but I think he's going to be pretty convincing.
He beats Cole Rodallin, and they both have one win.
Yeah, he's going to.
Man, this is, we crimed him.
We crimed him, dude.
Matty O versus.
That's a funny one.
Simon
Lazat. Yeah, I just absolutely crimed him.
He beat Simon. Doesn't feel right.
Feels right to me, dude.
Yeah, I think it does feel right. Well, he would have been even with Simon before this past week.
They both have one win. I was thinking, like, are we overlooking, like, he came in 28th at Deglo when Simon won. Simon's worst is 18. He has a 28 and a 15.
I think he's jumping him.
I don't feel like he should. Let's go back a little bit.
According to the numbers. Well, now we're just getting too far back.
Now Simon beats him. It doesn't pass the eye test.
Yeah, it
Simon Lazat's having a better season. Because like in this, Matty O, if you bring in June, has 18th, 23rd, 15th, 28th.
But this is the power rankings. This isn't the season rankings.
Yeah. But if we even go more recently, he has worse finishes.
Yeah, like I don't think just head-to-head tells everything. He's 3-2 since July with a more recent win, I think.
But I don't think head-to-head tells
the story. If it was any other player, it would be a jumping him right now.
But Simon didn't play bad at Maple Hill. Simon came in fourth.
But he lost.
Yeah, but Matty O has a 28th and a 15th.
3-2 since July. More recent win. In fact,
We'll spin the wheel. Because we disagree. So we need to spin
the
wheel.
Yeah,
the
stats disagree with you.
We disagree.
Every other player, if we put them in a scenario, you'd been like, 3-2 and the more recent win? That goes to that person.
We have Simon Lazat on one side of the wheel, and we have Matty O.
Everybody's pegging me out to be the hater.
I'm the third party. I choose Matty O.
We're spinning the wheel. He doesn't value
your opinion. The wheel also values Matty O.
We'll land on Matty O. I can't argue with the wheel.
Thank goodness.
Wheel don't lie. Thank goodness.
Now, best 2 out of 3. Just kidding. All right. Matty O jumps Simon. Okay, now we're going
to do the next one.
Matty O versus Ricky. Okay, that will be fine. Yeah, Ricky.
Thank goodness. Yeah. I was ready for that to end.
Okay, so Matty O jumps to 7th right behind Simon.
He goes to 6th above Simon. Don't worry, guys.
That just doesn't pass the eye test. I don't like that.
What eye test are you talking about?
Mine. My two eyes looking at it doesn't pass it.
Okay, because like doesn't number, pass a smell the numbers at 3 and 2.
It doesn't pass a smell test
just
either.
Just 1. You can't even smell.
Doesn't pass it. I can smell that. I smell what the rock's cooking.
Hunter is a known Matty O hater right now.
That's fine. You can call me a Matty O hater. I have no problem
Everybody
with that.
Everybody thought I was the Matty O hater.
I think Simon Lizotte deserves more than that. I'm going to say it.
Should have played better then.
Yeah, he should have won then. He had every chance to and he didn't.
Hey, I can say it. I did.
Nope. We'll see what happens. I muted you.
We'll see.
Oh, you know what? USDGC, the ship will be righted.
We'll see. I don't know about that, dude.
Matty O played well.
I can smell a Matty O like 4th place.
And I can smell a Simon
last year. Last year he shot hot round.
If Matty O finishes outside the top 10, we bump him out of the top 10 in the power rankings.
No.
How confident are you?
I don't need to make bets on his behalf. I'm just trying to defend the guy.
Calvin, Isaac, Gannon, Eagle, Ricky.
I'm okay with not really switching.
I think we're good with
up.
Not moving those. Yeah, I mean, Eagle could move up.
Do we bump up Eagle?
I hope Matty O wins USDGC now. Gosh, that would be so
real tight.
Poetic.
What am I looking for? Stat Mando.
You getting a caddy for him?
Yeah.
You should try and get on Matty O's back. I bet you that would be a good time.
I'd just be like, hey, man, Roll Tide.
Does he usually have
like,
a caddy?
Roll Tide. I'd be like, Roll Tide, Roll Tide, Roll Tide. He'd be like, Roll Tide, Roll Tide. That's all I can say.
Does he have a caddy usually?
I don't know.
I don't know. He had Zach Melton on his back this past
weekend.
Oh,
the Meltonator. He probably isn't playing USCGC, so he might caddy for him.
Ian McMahon versus Gannon Burr. Eagles 4-0 against him recently.
Yeah, I had a feeling that might happen.
Eagle McMahon versus really Isaac good. Robinson.
Well, you know what he just did to that Silva.
Isaac still won Worlds recently. 4-1 against him, though. How much we value Isaac's World win?
He did just win Worlds. I think we move up Isaac or
I mean,
Eagle one slot.
Eagles Eagles went second, first, third, second, fourth.
He is on a tear. We don't want to be Eagle slanderers. Hey, we don't want to crime him.
He's you can't.
On a wait, go back to the list. Go back to
here's
the
what
rankings.
I'll say. If Isaac say Robinson it. Stays, Simon Lizotte stays.
I'm fine with Isaac slipping then.
All right, then Eagle McMahon moves up.
Justice. Eagle's playing really well right now.
Should we go Eagle to Calvin? Do we dare?
I dare.
Calvin hasn't,
we know he hasn't won anything.
Eagle McMahon might be the best player in the world. Are we overvaluing Calvin Heimberg? Eagle McMahon's 3-1 against Calvin.
Calvin.
And it is a dog race. They definitely are 1-2. We got
yeah, maybe we should do Matty O versus Calvin.
Listen to this. Calvin's most recent 5. 4th, 5th, 5th, 4th, 3rd. And Eagles 3-1 against that. Because Eagles went 2nd, 3rd, 2nd, 4th, 4th.
Some dogs, woof woof.
Eagle McMahon's the best player in the world right now. Eagle McMahon
new
jumped to one.
New number one.
And
Eagle
it's deserving. McMahon. I heard people complaining about UDisc putting Eagle 1 over Calvin. And you know what? I disagree with y'all. Eagle McMahon's the best player in the world right now.
Wow.
Do we go Isaac Robinson to Calvin Heimberg? Just to lock it in. Yeah, Calvin's 5-1 against Isaac.
Yeah, I don't think Calvin's losing to really anybody on that comparison.
We should go Isaac versus Gannon just to make sure Isaac beats Gannon. Okay, so we have a pretty bulletproof list
We're
right here.
Bulletproof right
Eagle
now.
Eagle 1, Calvin 2, Isaac 3, Gannon Burr 4, Ricky 5, Matty O 6, Simon 7, Cole Rodolin 8, James Proctor 9, AB 10. I'm not going to lie, that 8, 9, 10, I feel like we didn't really check, but I'm okay with it.
They're not important. Keep going.
Okay. On to FPO. Kristen,
I'd let the comments fill
Haley
us in.
King is now number one.
Kristen, well, Haley's on the top 5. She's got to be. Hey, Kristen, Missy, Owen, Holland, Val Mandahano. Why do I keep closing out a stat, Mando? I'm going to need it.
Yeah, honey.
Haley King jumps at least.
Well, Val's.
Valerie Mandahano.
Gone.
She might jump Holland Hanley as well.
Potentially, yeah.
But I feel like Haley hasn't played recently.
She was hurt.
Okay, July, we got the King.
She was throwing tech disc in the driveway, though.
Versus,
I saw all those.
Let's
posts.
Just go Mandahano.
I should have known.
45 degrees nose up. Connor.
Okay. Haley King's 3-1 against Val. So that's an easy one.
Yeah.
Now let's go
Val
Hanley.
Hasn't really done anything until she's like since she just like won randomly.
Okay. Holland Hanley's 3-1 against Haley. So we can.
Okay,
just
Holland.
bump Haley King into fifth here. What?
Let's get a holler for home.
Boom. And then we got Owen Scoggins could probably jump Missy Gannon. Let's look at it here.
I mean, Missy's been very good, but they're probably going to be pretty close, I'd imagine.
Owen's 3-1 against her.
But look at their, I might look at their finishes. I'm not disagreeing with you. I just kind of want to see them.
Owen went second to Missy's 13th.
But before that, it was Owen 4-4-1.
Owen won to fourth. Yeah, but Owen's 2-1-2-2.
No,
one,
I'll
two,
give
two.
It to Owen. I just wanted to see it because I know Missy has been really good. So
Owen's 2-1-2-2. And Gannon, you know, this is a tough back-to-back weeks for you. I just realized that. Or not back-to-back. On this, it's back-to-back. Owen Scoggins won D-Glow. And now Matty O's won. It's a rough season for you.
Yeah, it has been.
For your can't win.
The O's. The O's
it was always a lot.
Owned Trevor.
The Owen thing was a lot less of a bit. But the Matty O, well, I guess you'd say it was more of a
bite.
Bit.
More of a bite.
This one was a bite. This one.
Yeah.
This one.
Yeah.
You just really didn't like Matty O, did you?
Yeah, I didn't like Matty O, clearly.
Me either.
I love Matty O.
Yeah, Kristen, Owen, Missy always Gannon, Holland Hanley,
I
Haley
like him
King.
Too, man.
Boom, there's your top five.
Never had anything against him.
Hey, I'm just saying that I love
podcast
him.
Title.
Else.
I'm sorry.
All right, there you have it. Now, I think we just titled it A New Number One in the World.
We've got to title something with Matty.
We got
to
title it sometime. It's got to have a title.
We'll figure out a title. You already saw it. You clicked on it. That means it worked on you.
You guys comment down below what the title is.
Yeah. Comment down below how the title made you feel and if we should have changed it.
Nice.
We'll see you next week.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.